Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to The Casual Temple, episode 57, and I'm your host, Miralee Duffy. At The Casual Temple, our mission is to discover our connection to the unseen world of spirit and how that empowers us to know our true selves. Want to support our journey? Subscribe and leave a star review on your favorite podcast platform. We love hearing from you, so visit casualtemple.com to share your thoughts. Today, I got to interview a dream guest, the absolutely fabulous Lori Davis, author, ritualist, and spiritual seeker with a story unlike any other. From a life-changing love that began through a prison wall to walking a deeply personal path of magic, miracles, and transformation, Lori shares a journey of faith and magic that will leave you inspired. We'll talk about the power of ritual in dark times, how miracles actually do happen, what prosperity really means in the magical life, and the wisdom found in silence, spirit, and a simple daily practice. Here's your invitation to remember that magic is real. Your words shape your world, and healing starts with your mind. Join us on The Casual Temple as we follow the current with Lori Davis. Welcome back to The Casual Temple. Today, I'm absolutely thrilled to introduce our guest, Lori Davis, who is an author, spiritual seeker, and dedicated magical practitioner. Known for her unique blend of intuition, ritual, and resilience, Lori brings a voice of authenticity, personal depth, with an eye for the sacred. She is a blessing to the world of modern mysticism, full stop. Lori is known for her deeply personal story of love, justice, and spiritual awakening, which she has shared openly through both her writing and her presence in the magical community. On an average day, Lori is an ardent explorer of her inner landscapes of the soul, advocating for truth and transformation, or guiding others in their own spiritual practices. She's a light for those walking the path of the soul. Lori, I am so beyond happy to have you on The Casual Temple.
Oh, Miralee, you're so kind. And that introduction, I'm just like, wow, my goodness. I wish I could be that person.
Oh my God. You are that person, just to break it to you.
Well, I'm honored to be here with you, and thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Yes. And so I let everybody know how you and I got connected. So about a year ago, I think it was about a year ago, maybe a little over a year. Damien said something about Lori is putting together a women's group or something on your Patreon. And I was like, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. Literally like weeks before, I was like, I really want to talk to a bunch of women about this practice, because I feel like we do it a little differently than the men who I love in my life that are magical practitioners. And yeah, so you put that group together called The Current, and there's a bunch of really cool, really awesome female practitioners in that group. And you guide us so well on our journey. And I swear every time we meet, what the topic that you're going to talk about is literally what is going on in my life. And I know I'm not alone in that group, because everybody's like, yep, that's what's happening. So yeah, so thank you so much for putting that together. And yeah, it's been so great.
Well, it's been great for me too. It's been such, you know, and that was exactly how it came to be. Was I was at Damien and Derek, their School of Magic Magnum Opus has a retreat every fall. And the fall before last, I began talking with some women who were there. And we were talking about the fact that, I mean, women and men do magic differently. Yeah. And we're just different. We think differently. It's just the way that we go about life differently. And one of them suggested, you know, maybe you should do a women's. And I was, at first, I'm a very, I've been in the public a lot in my life, just because of the work I did on Damien's case. But I'm not a person who's really out there. I will be behind the scenes all the time. Even doing a podcast is usually a big deal for me. So to do this, I get nervous every month. I'm so nervous. But the women in this group, and I have to tell you, Marilee, you are, I don't know if you know this or if you feel it, but you are like my person I go to. Like I'll look at you and I'll see, like you'll be laughing at something or you'll be nodding your head or you'll be smiling. And I'm just like, I check in with you all the time. So thank you for being that touchstone and for you calm me down. And I feel like we're on a good, like, I don't know, we're rolling along and doing well.
Yeah.
I love checking in with you, so thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for that comp. Yes, I listen for, part of what I do here. So, like, do a lot of active listening, and my full-time job during the day it has a lot of active listening. So, yeah, so I like to be, very present with people. So, thank you for that compliment. That's so great. Oh my goodness. Well, we kind of just start at the beginning. Whatever you consider the beginning of, you can even go back. Some people go back to when they were a baby or even in the womb. I don't even know if you want to go back that far, but like wherever you consider the beginning of sort of your interactions with spirit or the other world and like what's going on there.
I would say the big for me when I started to be aware of it, my parents, I grew up in West Virginia, and my parents are very country folk. They're dear people. But of another they're that they're, it's another generation, as everyone's parents is another generation of doing things. But they started going to church when I was about six, and they chose a missionary Baptist church, which is extreme fundamentalism. And so I'm going to church. I suddenly as I'm going to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then revivals would be like all week long. And this is holy rollers. That's what we're talking about here. I don't know if it's like, people scream like woo, like screaming and all that. And so it was raucous, and I actually really am grateful for it now, because it's being in a community that's at least feeling something spiritually. And while the teachings didn't really resonate with me then, and they don't resonate with me now, at least I had a foundation. And what that foundation provided me was the belief in miracles. And that has been really the thread that has gone through my life. Is when I was about eight, just like my dog disappeared, and I had heard, prayer described as imagine what you want, pray about it, and have faith, basically. And so that's what I started doing. And really, magically, my dog reappeared exactly as I imagined him doing after about 4 weeks of him being gone and everyone else thinking he was dead or someone had stolen him or whatever. And from that moment on, I knew. I just knew that the earth was a magical place to be, that God existed, and the connection between us and God. Well, then it was just still, I had a long way to go. But from there, I was just always searching. I just feel like I've been a person who's always been searching for the place or the people or the next thing, very motivated to leave the place I grew up and explore the world. And so I did that. And I moved over to, I went to university for a little, for, I went to university and studied landscape architecture. And then I moved to England for a little while to study estate design, and ended up in New York City. And during the time I was in New York, I kind of lost touch with the spirit, my sp spiritual, that with just well for with God. I still realized that there were so many synchronicities happening in my life, and I recognized those. But I was amongst people who weren't believers or who were not spiritually driven, and I just kind of fell out for a little while until I met my husband, who I'm also an Love, love, love movies. And it's interesting because movies were a big part of my, they're a big part of my spiritual practice because I get a lot of messages through film and through stories. And so being in New York, I sometimes I'd see 8 movies a week in the theater, which, yeah, well, that also meant that I was sneaking out of work and doing this stuff I probably shouldn't have been doing. But I met my, well, I shouldn't say I met him, but I discovered my husband through a documentary called Paradise Lost that I saw at a film series at MoMA. And that was the turning point because Damien is and has always been a spiritual seeker. And I started writing, he was on death row at the time. And I started writing to him. And it wasn't like I was writing, like I didn't. I just wrote to him and asked, what can I do to help? Because everyone in the theater, we, you know, the talk after the movie, this was 1996. And everyone in the film, after the film, when we were having discussion, it was clear that he was innocent, and the other two men, or young men at that time, that had been convicted were innocent too. And it ended up being a huge movement that, you know, an international movement. They were called the West Memphis Three. Anyway, I wrote to him to see what I could do to help. Ended up in a correspondence with him, and the next thing I know, I was married to him and living in Arkansas and building a legal team, which I did for the next 15 years. Yeah, from 1996 to 2011 when he got out. But during that time that I was in Arkansas working on his case, Damien and I, that was the foundation of my life now. I study he was studying Buddhism at the time, and I started sitting Zazen, and then he returned to his first love, which is ceremonial magic, and started studying that. And then he was teaching me. And then we really do, I mean, truly very grateful to all of the people, you, Marilee, included, that supported us during that time, which I didn't even know that till we just started talking. But I'm still a little wonderfully blown away by that. But I honestly believe it was through prayer and through ritual that Damien got out of prison. And, you know, when you talk about all the people who helped, that's a part of it. That's a part of the divine plan, the people and the situations and the way that everything has to line up. So that, and then from there, I mean, it's every story has its ups and downs, and he gets out, and we fall into like just trauma and a lot of things that we just didn't know how to handle, like media tours and celebrity, not, you know, in that celebrity world, not saying that we were celebrities, but there were a lot of celebrities around us and a lot of, you know, book tours and movie tours. And that is a world that's very frightening to me. I lost, you lose yourself in it. You hear people say that all the time, but you do. You don't know what you're, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And in the midst of it, Damien is failing miserably. And and I didn't know how to take care of him. He should have had professional help, and he didn't. And so what, like two nervous breakdowns later, and then we had fallen into complete, like, just we hit rock bottom, like in 2016 and or 17, probably. Maybe it's like sometimes somewhere around there, you know, suicidal, financially had $200 left. Living in New York City, that's not going to go very far. And then you know, I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but one thing led to another, and we left New York. We moved to New Orleans for a little bit, and now we're living here in the Hudson Valley. And that's kind of like as condensed, I think, as I can make it.
That's pretty good. That is really good. Yeah, you obviously know how to tell your story because it's like
What? It's a lot. It's a lot.
Oh gosh. Well, I had a question that I'm gonna kind of roll back because there's something you're talking about, those specific churches you went to and sort of miracles. Did you, I'm assuming you observed miracles in that church too, right? That happened.
Like, not so much, like, they didn't do healing or
Oh,
things
right.
like that kind of thing, but it was more like you would see someone praying for a family member who was, and then suddenly they would appear, and the radical change in their life that would come about, those kinds of things. And also just the feeling sometimes of someone being baptized, or, but no, we weren't like snake handlers,
Oh,
although really
right.
wish we would have been. That would have been
Right. You're like, I kind of would have been up for
I
That would have been kind of cool.
would have
Yeah, because the way you described the church, I think one of the churches I went to was very similar. For a short time, my dad kind of experimented with some different churches. But yeah, even though like overall, like percentage-wise, it's definitely not a path for me. And I do have a lot of critiques about it. But there were things there that I observed, right? Where I was like, huh, interesting. Like there are sort of miracles or prayers that are happening for people. And I can't discount that, right? Like that there's something going on there. So,
Right. Did you see miracles? Like, were
yeah,
you?
I would say the same thing, sort of like prayers or people, that we would pray for healing for other people that were in sort of dire situations, or yeah, you would sort of see the same thing. So, so that always stuck with me. And similarly, while I don't follow that like a religious path, it is like, I am grateful for those experiences. They're so weird.
Absolutely. And it's also like I said, it's this very like kind of strange little foundation that you can build upon. Where did you grow up?
Oh gosh. Well, let me so the time period I'm talking about is like Phoenix, Arizona. From when, let's see, ages like 5 to 12 or something like that. And there was a church there. It's still there because I checked in on it, and it's called the Truth Tabernacle. And it was like a weird, and I don't remember what denomination is. And I think I looked it up recently, what denomination it was. And it's like more of a patriarchal, I don't know, fundamentalist church. It was really weird. They made all the women like put their hair back and like wear long sleeves. And I was like, what? Because my parents were pretty permissive and like let us run wild. Going in there, you're just like, what is this? Oh my gosh. Yeah. So basically, yeah, Phoenix, Arizona for a time. But then we moved to Washington after that. And yeah, Washington's more my speed, I think, even weather-wise. So
Washington's great.
oh yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, there's so many things that you mentioned. You did mention that you had some support and guidance sort of during your path. And I know Damien's mentioned that too. He had different teachers coming in. Did you have other people that would come and help you specifically?
It was more for me, teachers that I would find through books or it's funny, though, one that was kind of pivotal for me. I used to, Damien and I both listened to Joel Osteen all the
Oh,
time, and we watched him. I love Joel Osteen, and but we would watch him while Damien was in prison. So after he got out, we were living. It's like one of those, some of the things that happened to us. So we were living in, there's this apartment building on Central Park West called the Beresford. And I think that's the, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one Ghostbusters film with the tower or something.
Oh, right.
One of the women who helped us with the case, she was like the vice president of Sony Music. I mean, that's like one of the most powerful people in the music world, right? And we're living with her. She had two apartments in that building, and she invited us to live with her because we didn't have a place to live for a little while. So we lived with her for about, I don't know, 4 months or 6 months. I mean, it was a while. And one day I was watching Joel, and she walks in, and I'm thinking, what do you, what people want to, She's like, "You watch Joel Osteen?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Hold on a second." So she leaves and she comes back with all these books. And the books were Katherine Ponder and Emmett Fox. And I think not Florence Scovel Shinn, she introduced me to her later. She said, "These are my teachers, Lori." She says, and I know Damien does, magic, but I've done magic. It's how I've gotten to where I am in my career. And I was just like, you just never know, right? What
Yeah.
anyone. And so I started studying Katherine Ponder. So to answer your question, my teachers are, most of them are deceased, but have left behind their books and their messages. And but once again, here's this woman who, she actually showed up, and she's still a good friend of mine, and has been helpful in a lot of other ways. So Damien has had a lot of teachers that he's actually had, been on earth with, but might have, yeah. But I would, and I'd say Joel is a good teacher for me too.
Yeah. I think that's kind of usual. A lot of the guests I talk with, they also say, yeah, my teachers tend to be deceased and in books. And I get that too. I think I'm kind of both because I do love reading. It's a different immersive process reading, I feel like. And then having a person, well, I do love interactions, but I feel like you're also like dealing with the everyday person, right? If that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, and also their teaching. So you have to like balance those two things.
Well, I look at the Current as my now huge teacher to me, and all
Yeah.
the women in the Current. I am blown away every month
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
when we talk, and I get to learn so many different points of view and about it. That to me, so I'd say that's been a huge teacher to me.
Yeah, I agree because it's everybody has such wise things to say all the time. And so yeah, it's great. I love it. But yeah, oh gosh. Yeah, one of the things that I think you mentioned too was the Seth books at one point, reading those. And then literally like a week ago, I was like, I haven't listened to any of my Audible, like any of my audiobooks in a long time. And I was like, ah, I feel like going for walks and listening to audiobooks. And then like one of them came up and it was like the Jane, one of the, I forget what, Jane Roberts. And it was like personal, oh shoot, I can't remember. But this talks about sort of personal like identity or something, like building your own personal universe essentially is what the thing is. And very fascinating stuff in there too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I took this year has been an interesting year for me, very quiet, but I started listening to, I was listening to the Abraham, Abraham. So there was one of their books, and I listened to it over and over, probably 30 times,
Whoa, yeah.
because I would just end and I'd start it again, because I felt I so resonated with the message in it. And it's simple. It's not simple to do, but it's a pretty simple message. And so I really wanted it down in my spirit. So
Yeah.
I might, now that you brought that up, I think I might do it with the Seth. I love the Seth. I love those, the chan I love channeled messages and that whole, well, it's been going on
Oh
forever.
my gosh, forever. Even
I mean,
the who is it? The Oracle of Delphi. That whole
yes,
situation is a channeled
yes.
situation.
Absolutely. Well, the Bible. I mean, everything.
Yes. Like all of it is like, what the heck's going on? Yeah, the writings of the Bible is channeled. Yeah, basically channeled. Yeah.
There's something so special about the 60s, 70s, and 80s when Course in Jesus, Course in Miracles, and then Seth and Abraham to channel through women, which I love that. That was like a tiny little time capsule of wonderfulness.
Channel messages. Like, I feel like for me, I'm just going to share personally, it's a little hard to wrap your brain around, right? But that's literally your brain. And like, you know what I mean? And it's like, what? Doesn't make any sense. But you know, I've had people in even my husband had a situation. I don't even think I shared this, but I'll just say he had a situation when he had a slumber party, right? As a teenage boy. And with the same, it was him and the same two boys. And one of the boys in the middle of the night would wake up and start speaking in another voice. And then the other two boys would wake up and they're like, "What's going on?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they even actually recorded it, but somehow the tapes don't exist anymore. But it happened many times when they would all like slumber party. So it was really interesting that it would have to be the same boys. And I literally
Yeah.
just in Jane's the particular Seth book I'm listening to, like he said something about that. He said that I think it's like Seth is a combination of Jane and then the husband. There's something going on there, which
How
was interesting.
would you text me the one you're listening to? All right. Okay.
Yeah, so I can't, so initially where I'm like, what? But I'm like, but it happened to my husband. You know what I mean? Like it
Yeah.
happened. So
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. It's so the whole, yeah, I know. And it's hard to tell people, who
Well,
really, when you're trying to explain, they're looking at you like, oh, this,
Sure. Yeah. Sounds totally logical, lady. Yeah. But I'm like, but the messages, people, that's like what's important
Yeah,
is like
I'm
what
like,
they're saying.
it really, and then you keep digging yourself in deeper and
I know, and
deeper.
they're just it's like, oh man, let's talk about like, I don't know, Breaking Bad. I don't know, let's talk about something else. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for going down the Seth road with me, because I do like I was like fascinated in the last week just listening to that stuff.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Are you listening to, like, are you hearing, is it Jane's voice?
It
Well,
is.
Seth's voice through Jane.
Yeah. It's
Okay.
through the audiobook. So they have like somebody doing Seth, somebody doing
Okay,
Jane,
okay.
somebody doing Robert. I think Robert. I'm getting all their names mixed up.
No,
But
you're right. It's
yeah.
because I actually found a video. Have you looked up the video of her? Actually,
No.
it
What?
exists.
Oh my God. Okay. I'll have to look
Yeah.
it up.
Yeah, it's very spooky when you see it. Like, you can see Esther Hicks. There's many, videos of her, of Abraham speaking through her and actually hearing her. But oh, I just got chilled. There's video of Jane. It's very grainy and black and white, but it's very, very interesting.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I gotta look at
Spooky. The
that.
voice is very spooky.
Yeah. So weird. Yeah, but so fascinating. I love all these like little pieces that show us that, that everything is way more complicated, but also kind of simple, but way more complicated than we understand it, and it's
I know.
fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, so many things to talk about.
know.
So I know, so what exactly, so what did you start practicing, say, when you did start your magical practice with Damien? Like, was it with Damien specifically, or did he give you some books or something and you kind of went off and did your own thing? Like, how did that all start?
I think it was more. Well, our whole relationship was kind of a practice because meeting him to me was so, everything that happened between us was so miraculous. And it brought me back to that realization of talk about the reason I called the current is because I do think, that current of magic runs through everyone's life, their own particular current. And you can feel it, when it's happening. And our relationship was just huge in that way, just writing to each other. And I kind of just left, normal life for a long time. I was checked out of everything during the time when we first started writing to one another. And it's hard to explain. I couldn't concentrate on anything. I was just so wrapped up in our getting to know each other, writing to it. And we were just like, write all day long, these massive letters that we would, 16, 18 page letters we'd send every day. And so for the first, and it was almost feverish, you're just kind of like, so, and that's not even getting into like sex or anything. It's just our minds.
Like,
And yeah. And so things would happen, like we would write to each other, and then the same thing would come in a letter the next day. That kind of thing. You know that you were tapped into something higher than, the material world. So I think our relationship was really what kicked it off for me, and I realized that there's just so much gold to be dug here, and there was. But I think it was he would always kind of take the lead, like he would start studying with someone, or like I said before, he started with Buddhism, and so then I started sitting, and then he went back to magic and started to. And then there was a time where our paths kind of, my practice is so different from his. I found my way after he got out, and I started realizing that, ceremonial magic was not. Even though a lot of it is in what I do, lots of ritual work, lots of work with archangels. I basically just took the things that worked for me and then made a hybrid of my own practice that is more very much as I guess, I don't even know what I would call it, to be honest.
Right,
It's a
yeah,
mash of a
exactly.
lot of different things.
Oh gosh.
Does your husband, does he have a spiritual practice?
I would say kind of not like, I mean, as far as not really, that's what I'm doing, like as far as that, but he had like I do planetary rituals every day. And so I do something with that particular planet, that particular day. And he's been joining me for the last year on those,
Oh,
which is
nice.
cool. And then like he's seen some like pretty amazing thing. I was like, you just wait, like it's right if you ask. And I think the other thing too is like some people get a little shy about asking for things. I don't know why, because I'm not shy about asking
I'm
for things
not
at
either.
all. Like, I need this, please. I need this to happen. But yeah, he asked for a very specific thing, and it was so funny because he asked Aries, right, the god of Mars, and he asked a very specific thing. It's really weird. I won't explain what the thing is, otherwise I would. And he said, if I do it, I'm gonna make Mars a pizza, because he makes pizzas all he loves pizza. And he was like, I'm gonna make Mars a whole pizza if this thing comes through. And it did. And so to make
Or
like
she
this
did.
special, yes. And I was like, he made this special pizza, and he couldn't eat it, right? Can't eat that pizza, but he
Oh.
made it all special. I was
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
That is one, that's such a wonderful story.
It was very cute.
Oh my gosh. See, you can't go back. Like
No, you
you
can't, because it's
can't.
like I can't deny that. How do you deny this very specific thing that he asked for, which nobody really would know about, and it happened for him, you know? And that's with any of our lives. You're like, for me, it's always about timing. Because it's like I asked for this thing and then something happened. Like, I can't, like, this has never happened in my life. Like, you know, but within minutes, something that I asked for occurred. So,
I know, and it never, and it never like gets like, even though I know it's gonna happen, even I know it's gonna, and when it does happen, it never grows old. It's
No.
every single time, it's just like, oh,
And I do think with that, I do think this is why I feel I kind of want everybody to experience it in some level, because it's hard to explain to somebody who hasn't had that ha or they haven't perceived it. I'm sure it's happened to them, but they haven't internalized it and said, yes, this has happened to me. It's hard to like talk to somebody, because then you feel like the crazy person, right? You're talking to try to explain it. But when somebody has had something, they're like, yep, 100%, yes, because yeah, it's real at that point. Real.
Which is why I was kind of, I was happy, even though it's very, it waters everything down, and it became, but I really was glad when that, I think it was a documentary and a book called The Secret
Oh, yes.
came out, which is actually the foundation of Abraham's teachings, but it ended up, that was a whole thing. But it enabled people who not necessarily believed in anything other than what they can see, right? To see that how powerful they could be. And I love that. I like that that was something that was more accessible.
I agree. I'm all about everybody experiencing it. I don't care what how you do it. I just think it's you're gonna be so jazzed and so excited.
I know.
However you do it, like let's do it, people.
I love, start with a cup of coffee, see how quickly it
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and I like that you brought up The Secret because obviously a lot of that gets a lot of get a lot of trash talk for whatever the reasons are. But yeah, I think it was a really good in for a lot of people to kind of open
I
their
think so
eyes.
too. And for that reason alone, I'm glad it exists.
Me too. Oh goodness. Well, I had this question. And so you may have already answered it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Was there a particular moment that deep that made you like deepened your commitment to this particular path where you were like, I can't not go back.
Absolutely. And I didn't mention it. It was when, and I'll just talk about myself. Damien had another, his experience was different from mine. But after everything that we'd been through, I really did hit rock bottom in the late, like somewhere around 2017, 18. I just could no longer function as a human being, and I didn't want to live anymore. And I hope no one listening to this has ever been to this point, but it's an extremely, unfortunately, you just know it. When you get there's no doubt about, there's just no doubt. And I had gotten there. And I'm so grateful to, it's only, you hear, I've heard, but I'm so grateful for my cat. Because I was in bed getting and whatever, and my cat jumped on me, and I suddenly realized, for I don't even know, but anyway, I didn't want to leave because my cat jumped on me, and love my cat, and it changed. It just one little thing, one moment in time, a switch happened. But I also realized nothing has changed, and I still don't have any money, and my marriage is over. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. And that's scary, really, for me. That was, well, for anyone, but it was a very scary place for me to be because I didn't know how I was going to survive, and I had a lot of pressure on me. But I just realized that what I needed to do is all day long, without ceasing, pray. And I've heard that before, and it, not necessarily, I'm not talking about getting on my knees and like praying, but in one way or another, be taking in. So I listened to Joel all day long. I read Catherine Ponder. I got a Tony Robbins book. It's just, and I would do everything Catherine Ponder said. And then the important thing for me, though, was to cut off my energy and my life from Damien. Essential that I do that because I could no longer be tied to him spiritually at that point. And that was the moment I started really my own practice and my own path. And we lead a very separate life spiritually. We'll talk about things, but we don't do any practice together. We don't. And that was, I think, in some ways essential for me. But talk about miracles. I mean, merrily, it was one thing after another would happen, and I remember, and it was slowly digging my way out, and it took a lot of time. I was also like had insomnia really, really bad at the time, so it was like everything,
Oh
it was
gosh. Oh my
all,
gosh.
yeah. But over the course, and it took years. I mean, if it takes years to get to that place, and so it takes years to get out of it, but I felt the ascension. You know, I could feel it slowly by slowly, but I will always be grateful to Joel Osteen's videos, to his, you know, voice messages, to Catherine Ponder's books, to Emmett Fox, to I would tape things up so I could read them every day. It was just constant. I would not allow myself all day long when I, you know, I didn't have any work, so it wasn't like but miracles happened during that time. And then also 2020 came, and 20, like you were saying, 2020 was just like the beginning of everything new for us. So yeah, and it's a strange thing to say, but I'm very grateful for that time.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, now, like when you're in it, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you can look back on it and like all the learnings that happened and all the teachers that came your way and all, the methods that helped you through and your kitty cat that helped,
Oh
gave
my
you
gosh.
that little bit of a, like,
Yeah.
it's
And
nice to be here. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, most people experience intense times in their lives, but do you know what I mean when I say there's something about the intensity of those times that is very, very, you get to know yourself in a way that you never thought you could. And when I say yourself, I think I'm talking about the Christ within. I'm talking about the real self.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have this like thing going like this. I have these like weird, I don't know if they're mantras or messages. Anyway, whatever. But I have this thing about you, Marilee, need to stop saying never, because every time I say, I'm never going to do that, it sounds dumb or whatever. I'm never going to, I freaking do it. I freaking wind up doing it. And so I'm like, how about I stop saying never? I don't even, just like my brain is like pushing things away when I do that. But it's like, that's probably the thing you need to be doing if you're like, you know what I mean?
I know. So much of what we say, everything, really,
Oh gosh. Yeah.
that we speak, I mean, I try to be, I mean, I do the same thing. There's so many things I say that I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe I just said that, you know?
Well, that's like the chaos of being human, right? It's like you still say things. Like, oh gosh, I wish I could have stuffed that back in my mouth. That would have been better. But yeah, and of course, as magical practitioners, kind of understand the power of words, right? Like just, it's the resonance of the universe, it's the power, it's the energy, it's the, there's really a lot of power in it.
There is.
And so that's like you putting up the messages every day, like, I mean, yeah. And I do think like the act of speaking it is where it's at, like speaking it into
Speaking it,
here.
definitely. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I would know. I during that time, I think you could call me a zealot.
You
I
have to be, right? You're digging out of
was a full-on zealot. Yep.
that. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm happy that, you're here, and that I'm happy that you found the tools and people that could get you out of that space, because that
Thank you.
space is rough. And I definitely had a similar thing, but my teacher, what at the time was, I always forget his name, The Power of Now.
Oh, Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah. Oh
I'm
my
brain
gosh.
fart.
Yeah, he was in there with me too.
Yeah.
He's
So
amazing.
yes. Oh my gosh.
I like, was it the power of
It was
now?
the, yeah, it was definitely The Power of Now, which is like blew my mind. 'Cause I feel like, 'cause I was what, how old was I? I was probably like mid 30s or something, like got laid off from my corporate job. And like, what do I do? Like, what am I gonna
Yeah.
do? So I, went for a lot of long walks and listened to Eckhart Tolle talk to me. And I think I have this other thing too, like humans, we go through this phase of life. I do think like your 20s, somewhere in there, you're trying to actually like figure out how to exist in this world, right? You're trying to get a job, you're trying to like figure out housing, you're trying to like find relationships. Like you're literally, that's your focus.
Yeah.
But at some point you're like, this is not enough. I
Yeah.
need other
Yeah.
things. And so I think that's where, the seeking comes in. You're like, there's more than this. Like, that can't be it. And so, yeah, I think Eckhart totally helped with that, because he's like, there's this awareness that sits right here. And I was like, what are you talking about, Eckhart? And then I would check in with it. Yeah.
But you're talking about, you had lost your job in the corporate world, and you think about how much identity is caught up
Oh
in
my
that,
gosh. Yes.
of who you are and what you're doing. And when you would talk to people, and I do this, and suddenly you're not there anymore. And so it is a disintegration of self
Oh, for sure.
that you were going through. And what better person to lead you through
I know, Eckhart Tolle.
that?
Yes. And like, yeah. And so he would be like, yeah, there's this awareness that sits and you can tap into it. And I'm like, okay, I'll try. And then you do, and you're like, wow. And then when you do tap into it, there's this peace to it, because it's just observing, like you going bumbling through your life, just observing. And you're like, okay, well, I can tap into that peace and like not just play into the anxiety of living, which is, because then you can't really solve your problems if you're just like in catastrophe mode the entire time. You have to like observe what's going on.
You have to get still.
That's what you gotta do. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, so yeah, getting still. Do you think so? With that, do you think that magical practices kind of evolve or shift through the year? Do you find yourself doing certain things at certain times, or is it always sort of pretty stable?
For me, I feel it's constantly progressive. Not so much cyclical or anything. I just find what it is I realized is I'm presented with something I need to work on. And then I work on that, and then I'm presented with the next thing that I need to work on. And then and some things can be harder than others, but and then there's the ones that are just persistently, they're just always there. You just always. So it's sort of, kind of like there's that the base of cons things that constantly like watching what you say and this. And then I'll have, it's usually something that comes up in life that forces me to have to work on it. So I would have to say it's just a progression of things.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, thank you for sharing that. So with sort of the progression, excuse me, and I hate putting it, I don't hate, but I'm reticent to put it in this term of like, how do you define like success? Like, say, you're putting energy into something. How would you say that that is a completion of that cycle, I guess?
It almost now I realize what it is. I'd have never been able to realize it until this year. It's peace. That's, yes. Joy comes and happiness comes, and I can wake up and feel elation that something has happened, but what I'm realizing is when all that fades away, if I'm still left with peace, then it's done. And like,
I definitely agree with that, because it is like all this energy that you're building up toward the whatever you're building towards, and then it's like, oh, whew, there it is. It could like enjoy it now.
Like there might be and there might even be a celebration if it's something big enough, and you have it, but that there's always that if you come down, if I come down from it and I feel deflated, then I know I've still got, there's still something that's not. So yeah.
Yeah, that is perfect. Thank you. Well, sort of the one thing I know, this is like, oh my gosh, I love prosperity topics, because, and we talk about prosperity quite a bit in the current, and I love that, because again, I feel like some people are reticent to ask for things just in general. And I feel like, prosperity, it just feels, well, I don't know. There's just like a weird uncomfortableness with prosperity.
Yep.
What's your perspective on it, and how do we get more in our
Oh
lives?
my gosh. I am so all about prosperity. And truly, I say this all the time. One of my favorite books in the world is called Catherine Ponder's The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. I have it around here somewhere. I need to hold it up. And I love it because she is a pastor, an old school like pastor. She's still alive. She lives, yeah, she's in her probably 90s at this point. But she and people don't like to hear this, but she's full on poverty is a sin. We were brought here to live abundant lives, joyful lives, and because we are God, and God created this abundant world, and there's gold dust in the air, and I am all about prosperity. I am all about abundance, and I think everybody has an idea of the level that they want. They may not want to talk about it, or no. I think the problem is, and you would understand this in the way you were raised, or that church you went to, or taught that it's bad. People are brought up that having money is bad, or having prosperity is bad, or living in a, and it's just the opposite. I completely and absolutely believe it's why we're here. To live, and money is divine substance. I believe that too. As are all the things that make us happy, money and pets and loved ones and all these things are our abundance, health. It's all part of it. So when you start getting me talking about this, so because and also, there's rules to it. I mean, there's rules. I mean that there's a reason why, you hear billionaires aren't happy. Some billionaires aren't happy. I don't know, but a lot of people who aren't happy. I mean, they're. I mean, that's why that book is The Dynamic Laws. I mean, there are laws around this and divine laws, and I find that fascinating.
Ooh, yeah, I know you mentioned that book. I think the last maybe two times we had on the current, and I was like, I need that. So yeah, that one's definitely go in the pile because
Oh my gosh.
it
It
sounds so
every time.
fascinating.
Oh, every time, and I'm listening to it right now, and Mitch Horowitz is the
That's right.
is the he's reading it. And it's old fashioned. I mean, I think some people might listen to it and think, I can't believe she just said that. Like she'll say things like, praise your husband. She's not saying it from like a it's she under I mean, and I say this with all the love in my heart. I really do. But when I started really praising Damien, and instead of I would never say anything derogatory to him. I just wouldn't. I mean, I would have before in my life, and that led to not a lot of happiness. But now, if he does something wonderful, I'm going to say it. And I think men, everybody, but I think men really love that. And I think if you can do that, so she'll say things like that, and I think a lot of women might come off and find that. A bit off-putting, but try it. But try it if you're it with any with your partner, with anybody. It's but I think the way she writes it is she's a woman and she understands the way that these things work. But anyway, that's just one little thing that is this very old-fashioned way of looking at things. But at the end of the day, everything she writes is she cites the Bible a lot. And there's so many verses in the Bible that are about abundance.
Oh,
It's like
yeah.
on and on and on. How do you feel about it? Like, what do you feel about working, like prosperity work?
Oh my gosh. Well, so many things. Lori, we could talk about this for hours, I swear.
I know.
But the thing that comes to mind, right? I like to work with the planets because my mind works like I like to organize things, right? And so, and I know you know this, but in magic, there's a lot of correspondences. And so I think that's why it like lit me up, like, oh, great, I can organize this stuff. But I work with Jupiter a lot. It's a very strong placement in my particular chart. And I did a lot of meditations on Jupiter. I did meditations on Hokmah, which on the Tree of Life is where Jupiter is. And one of the things that came in is like, yes, prosperity or expansiveness, wealth, all of that is definitely associated, but there's a component of charity and community. And like, so I feel like a lot of that's where we talked about sad billionaires, like, and then they go and do like spiritual retreats, right? Like to find themselves. But I'm like, how about you just like give your money away, or like spread it around in the
Right.
community,
Yep.
because that's the Jupiter balance. Because Jupiter is like, I'm not going to be a happy king here sitting in my throne by myself. That's not fun. I need to
Right.
spread this around.
Yes.
So I feel like I'm so on board with how you put that, and how Catherine Ponder is putting it. So I do think it's a sin. And I definitely, everybody would always tell me like, I can't, you can't want things, and you can't desire things, and you, it's bad for you. Why? Why? I think it is the number one thing, especially, we're on this particular plane. I feel like prosperity is like the thing that makes you believe like there's larger things here. Like if you can change things in this material plane, you go, oh yeah, like this is great.
Absolutely. And I want to talk of like what you just brought up, which is one of the things that is so important to Damien and me, is we give 10% of everything we make for taxes to either help our someone in the community or a teacher that we love, or that we started that. We started that, but I take care of the finances in our so I started that back when I was digging myself out. I'm like, we have to do this. I don't care if we $200, you're going to give, 20 of it to, is that right? 10%. Anyway, and actually Catherine Ponder really, she teaches that. And the fact that 10 is like, is a mystical number in the Bible.
That's
It's all
right.
this stuff is tied in. So
Yes.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is, that's one of the most important laws, is share your prosperity, share with others and help others.
Yes, I think we're gonna break through that wall. Some people, it's gonna go out there. And yeah, I'm very optimistic about that message. So,
Me too.
goodness. Tell us about sort of, you do your tiny vaults, which are amazing. You're a really wonderful writer.
Oh.
And we talked about the current, but how does that all work with your the Patreon and what you do with?
I actually really, I started Patreon just kind of, I just started writing, and I was so surprised when I had anyone come on board. And I don't say that from false modesty. I really don't. It's just truly, I just kind of put it out there, and I don't do social media. And so, what? And I had people come on board, and I was so surprised and pleased. And so it, I just, the way that I think about it is in the way that I have been so greatly blessed by other people's stories. And I thought if I could write in something that might help somebody, or, just from my experience, and I always try to tell people, I agree with Damien. I do not think of myself as a teacher, but if anyone can learn from my experience, that would mean everything to me. So I started writing essays, and then the current came up, which is very different because we meet on Zoom every month. And so that, I love that, because if we can't meet in person, then at least we can do it. Someday I want to do it in person, though.
That would
I
be
want to be outside
cool.
together. But then about a year ago, or a little over a year ago, I started thinking about how much Joel Osteen's, I get his daily like motivational things. He sends out a scripture and a little written message, and how some days that gets me through the day. And just hearing that can help me figure something out or give me something I need. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to do it. So I started writing these little things, and I write them every day, just what comes to me. And sometimes if it doesn't come to me, I do it the night before and then it comes out. But if it doesn't come to me, then it might come out later in the day. But those have actually, the tiny vaults have actually become my favorite thing that I'm doing on Patreon. I just it's the for I think it's the lowest or second lowest tier, and I wanted it to be more accessible to as many, but they're actually really helpful to me. They sometimes are
Yes.
bring me back to, so thank you so much for bringing that up. My Patreon is truly, I think I'm so I feel so blessed to be able to do it and to have that platform.
Yeah. And is that where, that's pretty much where everybody can find you is on
That's
Patreon.
all. Yeah, that's it. On
Yeah.
I think it's just Lori Davis, and I however you find it on Patreon, but it's just Lori Davis. Yeah,
Okay.
and yeah, that's I don't do any. I have a little secret, just to recently. A secret, and it's not secret. I mean, I'm on there, but I don't post anything
Yeah.
Instagram account because I've been using Instagram as kind of an oracle,
It
and
kind of is.
yeah, and I'll
Yeah.
ask it every day. Just give me some information that's going to be helpful to me today, and so, and then then it gets into cats. But.
Oh yeah. That's so many. I'm not shy about that. I'm like, bring me more of those.
Yeah.
I can watch this for hours.
Yes, I it's isn't it fascinating?
It's fascinating.
And there's
Yeah.
some really good people who have some very, very interesting things to say
Yeah.
about, spirituality and astrology. The astrologists are you, Marilee, I don't follow people, or I have. I think I've followed some people in the beginning, then I got like, but I'm gonna find you so I can follow you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do astrology on there?
Well, I probably should start. You know what? This is the synchronicity of like you saying this. Like I've been studying it. Studying it sort of on my own and like figuring out the different, you know, because I have to understand what things mean and like how does it work for me. So I've been studying it, but I really should talk more. You're like literally the third person that has said this to me. So I'm like, man, I really should just like actually put up
That's
content about it.
the third time is
The third.
that's it. Now you absolutely should do something on Instagram.
Oh.
I think you would be great. You should
Okay.
definitely do it.
All right, Lori, since you said I got to put my face out
Got
there
to do
more than
it.
I
Not yet.
do.
You do.
All right.
You have
All
such a lovely
right.
face too.
Ah, there. Thanks, Lori. Well, yes. So we will, yes, I will send you. And then, yes, I'll probably share with you some of my favorite cat videos.
Oh, please do. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You have no idea. Damien too. It's like, oh, yeah, the cats.
Can't. Yes. If I could own like all the cats somehow, like have them with me, that would be great.
I feel the same way. I love them so much. Do you have
Yeah.
dogs?
I've had dogs in my life. My husband, my poor husband, he got bit in the face by a dog when he was a kid, right? So I get it. You know, kind of not, you know, but I love all animals. I've
I
had,
do too.
yeah, I've been blessed to be in a family that was animal lovers. So
Oh,
yes.
they're the best. They're just the best. I know I love them too. I love all animals. Like if I could have them all.
If I could just have them all. And I feel like, you know, as a, you know, intuitive person, centers of, if you can like, if you sit and like tap into your pet, oh my gosh, they are the best at the present moment. They are the
Yeah.
best at the present moment. They, all that noise that we have in our head, it's like, it's kind of silent with them.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And
And they
so,
will communicate with you in ways that it's so amazing.
yes.
I
They're the
know.
best teachers, I feel like. One of the best teachers that we
Yeah,
have.
I agree. I completely agree. I know. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Lori, for sharing all the wonderful things that you shared today and all your wisdom. I always, after everybody shared their wisdom, I ask for more. So what words of wisdom would you like to leave us with today?
I'm just gonna say, I think the most important thing that anyone can do is just pay attention to how you feel in every moment, because the goal is to feel peace, but it's really wonderful to feel happy. So there's always a better feeling if you're not feeling very good, and All of us go through that. There's always a better feeling you can, or go watch a movie that makes you feel good. Find something to make yourself feel better.
Perfect. Oh, beautifully said. Well, thank you so much, Lori. I'm so happy to get this time with
Oh,
you and
Shirley,
share it
this
with
has been
everyone.
such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And I really, this has been such a wonderful experience and so fun talking to you.
Oh, good. Thank you. Same.
Lori is an absolute delight and full of wisdom and deep compassion. Do take a look at her Patreon offerings, as there is gold there for everyone. Do remember to like, follow, and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. It really helps us grow. Thank you for listening and being an important part of the Casual Temple.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.